Samson also, while I tend to like him, he's just been calling for $1 million Bitcoin since, who knows when. And I know it's coming.
This guy is looking after the Bitcoin for the ETFs, right? You're going to leave your money with this guy? You're going to do business with this guy who wants to promote fart coins to you and all this other rubbish?
Focus on Bitcoin, hold it yourself, and watch the show. There's nothing really more that you can control other than what you do with your time and energy.
Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of Bitcoin Banter. Rick and Tony are here with me. Gentlemen, we've got some good news to get into today. Let's start with a little bit of a debate going on Bitcoin Twitter, Bitcoin X, whatever we're calling it. And so Samson Mao, so Cointelegraph shared, new breaking news, of course. Samson Mao warns Bitcoin movements look manufactured and possibly suppressed. And Checkmate, a prominent sort of technical analyst guy, I don't really explain exactly what he does, just a lot of on-chain analytics. He said, "What a stupid headline. Mute, block, unfollow any folks making these claims. It simply shows their expectations are misaligned with reality." And so the two of them got into sort of a back and forth feud on this. I would be curious to hear opinions if you fall on a particular side or any other commentary you have. Tony, why don't we start with you?
Man, the thing is, I know both of them. Like, I mean, not personally. Well, Samson, I've met a few times. James, I follow and I read some of his posts. I mean, there's a lot of good content that he puts out there. Where I stand on this, man, is a little bit mixed. It's like on neither side. The thing is, Bitcoin is so new. On the one side, James is trying to apply, common sense metrics, TNA, to something that we've never seen before. And, in some cases, when he presents it, I guess it makes sense. There's logic behind his words. But I mean, I've always been of the belief that TA is a guess. I've never believed in it, really, because, what are you going to predict the future? You can always, in hindsight, always look back and say, yes, well, this and this happened because of that. But it's already happened. Predicting human behavior, that's impossible. And essentially, that's, when you're looking at charts, you're trying to predict human behavior in a certain way. But, I don't know how reliable that is. Samson is basing his comments on his intuition over the corruption that exists in the system. He knows that there's a lot of people in certain positions, that are able to put these roadblocks to screw around with things, to delay, the inevitable and what have you. And I think that's what he's commenting on, whereas James is countering that by trying to find mathematical, logical explanations to what's going on. I think the truth is somewhere in the middle. I don't particularly have any side to take. I do believe Samson that there's a lot of, really shitty people out there doing all sorts of shenanigans to the Bitcoin price, because it's very clear, how do you get Bitcoin to act like a stable coin? And why does it only seem to move now from Monday to Friday, coinciding with Wall Street, right? It's supposed to be 24/7. That's because the retail is missing. And the people that are who have the money that are controlling it, well, it's these guys. So until that changes, I guess you just have to you wait it out. It's inevitable, in my opinion. Like, Bitcoin will win, but you have to go through this transition. It's, I guess, part of the process.
Yeah, no, I think I probably agree with that. I tend to like Samson and James for different reasons. I enjoy listening to James. I have a lot of skepticism, I think, because it's sort of the TA is horoscopes for men kind of thing. That said, I think he tends to take a different angle on the guys who impose TradFi fundamentals onto Bitcoin, I just ignore them. Where I give James a lot of credit is he's looking at what's happening on chain. I think he's trying to figure out, are whales selling? Could that be price suppression? If you've been around since 2011 and you've got 10,000 Bitcoin and you want to sell to buy your house or your Lambo or whatever, like that could be totally unmanipulated price suppression because they're just selling into the market because they have so much. They just don't need that many Bitcoin, right? But Samson also, I tend to like him. He's, you know, he's just been calling for $1 million Bitcoin since, you know, who knows when. And I know it's coming, but like if for him, it's like it's imminent, like the rocket ships, you know, like we're ready to take off kind of thing. So yeah, I don't have a real strong opinion. Rick, what about you?
Similar. I mean, guys, we're not being very good Bitcoin influencers here, are we? Because we're meant to do what everyone else does, which is, oh, we always know what the answer is, right? But, you know, maybe that says something about our credibility, is that we're kind of sitting here going, well, we don't really know if someone's suppressing the price. And I think that's probably the bottom line. I mean, I'm not a massive fan of, I'm not a fan at all of technical analysis because, you know, I really don't think that there's any magical way you can draw lines on a chart and somehow predict the future. And I don't say that to sort of dismiss the on-chain analytics work. You know, maybe you can make a more informed guess by looking at on-chain data and seeing how the coins are moving and, you know, trying to look at previous activity and mirror it and make an educated guess. But no, nobody knows. Like after 10 years, I can tell you nobody knows where the Bitcoin price is going next. And if they did, right, they certainly wouldn't share that information or try and sell you a course on it, right? Because they'd be able to print money. So you just sit in your bedroom and do that. As for price suppression and manipulation, I think, well, here's the thing. I don't think Samson can probably prove that. And like Tony says, it's probably a lot of intuition going on. Because nobody can prove it, I don't think that doesn't mean it doesn't go on, right? Like Bitcoin, whilst it's worth $100K or whatever per coin at the moment, in terms of global finance, it's still not like a massive, massive market. So, you know, if there's players with a lot of coins or a lot of capital, you know, could they coordinate with each other to all sell at the same time to try and push the price down a bit? I mean, it doesn't sound outside the realms of possibility to me. And what do we know about TradFi bros is that they don't have, you know, very many sort of morals or any reason not to do that. So, yeah, I don't really know. I mean, I do sometimes get a bit tired of the whole idea of Omega candles being like right around the corner, right? Not necessarily because it might not be true, but because it might lead people into making some sort of rash and silly decisions, right? Like if you hear that enough, maybe you take out a loan that you can't really afford because you think this $1 million candle's around the corner. So is it helpful? I don't really know. I mean, you know, look, I sit here and I accumulate Bitcoin as hard as I can because like Samson, I think there's a big sort of, there's a big gap between what Bitcoin is worth and arguably what I think it should be worth. But, you know, the market's going to remain inefficient until everybody figures this out. I mean, look, I've spent 10 years thinking Bitcoin's undervalued, right? Like it's been this way since forever. When it was 1,000, I was like, how is this not a million? Then when it was 10,000, how is it not a million? Because you're always desperately waiting for this, like the whole world to suddenly wake up and understand Bitcoin. And maybe I've got a bit like long in the tooth and a bit jaded with the whole thing, but I think maybe I've come to terms with the fact that like, people aren't just going to wake up one day, suddenly understand Bitcoin and become like us three, all Bitcoin maximalists, like obsessed with it. And it's maybe going to be a bit slower than that. So I think the takeaway, like if I could give anyone any advice on this, is just be like, look, I'm a simple man and I take a simple approach. And I think it's probably a smart one, which is, do I think Bitcoin will go up in value versus the dollar and every fiat currency? Yes. Am I willing to, you know, wait 10 years, 20 years? Or it's not even about waiting, right? Because I'm not planning on selling back to dollars in 10 years or 20 years. The question is, would I rather my wealth was in a currency that's likely to appreciate in value over time versus a currency that's likely to lose value over time? And if the answer is yes, then all this commentary and guessing about how quickly it'll go up in value versus that defunct currency kind of gets a little bit irrelevant. Right. So, yeah, keep it simple. Like, stop trying to predict the future. No one really knows. And the fun thing about this is, right, I guess if you call for $1 million candles for 5 years, eventually when it does happen, you're going to be able to be like, boom, called it. Right. But, you know, I'm going to take the opportunity now. I'm going to call for the first $10 million candle and it's going to happen, gentlemen, in the next 20 years, right? And then when that happens, we're going to clip this out, make a short out of it and say, look, Rick called it. And then we'll get loads of likes and new followers and stuff like that. But it's interesting. Do I think there'll be people playing games? Probably yes. The best thing to do is maybe just ignore it and slowly stack.
That's good advice. I tend to think that that Bitcoin's been around long enough to prove itself robust and durable and useful as a store of value over time, a medium of exchange increasingly, and eventually a unit of account. It's not old enough for us to necessarily have the data and and it's still too small for us to have the data and the clarity as to where it's going, you know, I guess, besides in the general direction of up. So alrighty, let's jump into the next one here. So, Rick, I'm going to have you, instead of me explaining this, Brian Armstrong had a quite a take on meme coins. I'd love for you to maybe give us a synopsis, and then we can just beat the hell out of this one.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you've ever heard that term. I'm going to get this sort of saying wrong, but it's like it takes infinitely less time to spread a lot of bullshit than it does to debunk it. Right. You slide a lot further on bullshit than you do on gravel, is a saying we have in the UK. Right. So annoyingly, he's written, you know, 500 words here that you've got to unpick. But what's astonishing about it is just the sheer amount of nonsense that you could get into one tweet. Like, this is an all time record. Right. Because, I mean, look, he starts talking about meme coins, how they're generating a buzz, yada, yada, yada. And then he goes on to say, look, you know, arguably meme coins have been here since the beginning because Dogecoin is still one of the most popular coins. But for people who weren't around when Dogecoin got launched, like the guy who founded it came out and said, this is a joke. Like, it's just a joke. Like, we're just trying to have fun, right? So I guess maybe what Brian is pointing out there is that all meme coins are just jokes. Like, they're a total waste of time. And if he's going to draw this comparison, maybe we should look at the Dogecoin price chart and show you just how worthless that rubbish is. So I'm not really sure what kind of point he's making here by saying rubbish has been around forever, so we should have more rubbish. Like, what are you talking about? And then he goes on, and this is what upset a lot of people. He says, even Bitcoin is somewhat of a meme coin. Don't even know what that means. Doesn't justify it at all. Just total nonsense, right? And he goes on to say, like, look, like the early days of the internet, there's animated GIFs and all this sort of stuff. Technologies often look like toys, but become something more powerful over time. And sort of makes this argument that meme coins demonstrate that one day everything will be tokenized on a blockchain, right? Like he says, every post, every image, every video, every song, every asset class, blah, blah, blah. Look, people have been screaming Bitcoin, not blockchain for a long time for obvious reasons. And this is the one I want to attack, right? Is this idea that you can tokenize everything on chain. And I think I've got a pretty good example of how to demonstrate why it just doesn't make any sense. Like, it doesn't work, right? So in Scotland, where I live, a lot of people invest in whiskey, right? They take a load of whiskey, they put it in a barrel, they leave it in the barrel for 20 years and it goes up in value, right? Now, some people might say, well, this is a perfect use case for it. Put each bottle of whiskey on the blockchain, right? And invariably, how they're going to go about this is they're going to stick some sort of stupid QR code on the label, right? And then they're going to have some token that relates to that QR code. And then that proves that this bottle of whiskey is legitimate. But this whole argument falls over when you consider that maybe there's a guy called Jock in the whiskey factory who quite likes really posh whiskey. And after the QR code went on the bottle, he poured out the really nice whiskey into his own bottle and filled the rest up with some cheap stuff from the supermarket. Now, what do you have? Now, you're saying, well, it's definitely legitimate. It's on a blockchain, Rick. I'm saying that doesn't prove what's in the bottle at all, right? It doesn't prove anything. All you have a record of is that you made a record on a blockchain. So, like, I feel like the whole Bitcoin community is frustrated with this because we have debunked this nonsense, like, oh, every bloody year. Anyway, he then goes on to say, this is my funniest bit. Coinbase differentiates itself by being the most trusted platform in crypto. I'm thinking, I don't know, you must work in a different industry than me, right? I don't come across many people who trust Coinbase. I mean, look, there's loads more, and I'm not sure there's much point going through it all. There's a lot more rubbish in there as well that I could pull apart. But what you're seeing here is a guy who has built a casino. right? And the casino makes money when it sells you absolute rubbish and gets you to trade and gets you to get involved in all of this stuff. So I think it's worth calling out that, like, if you look at these posts, there's so many inaccuracies in there. And all it is a big, long diatribe to justify why he's going to sell you, you know, fart coin or some other total nonsense. And I think, like, it's a really good reminder to people, like, this guy is looking after the Bitcoin for the ETFs, right? You're going to leave your money with this guy? You're going to do business with this guy who wants to promote fart coins to you and all this other rubbish? Look, I'm not saying that Brian Armstrong's going to rug pull you. I'm just saying, like, look, you know, no smoke without fire. Would I go near this platform? Absolutely not. So, yeah.
Yeah, man. The funny thing is, I heard a good example recently. I think it was Pierre Richard was talking about, and this was before my time in Bitcoin. I guess there was a smart contract that had a bug in it on Ethereum a while back, years ago. And basically someone stole all the coins that were tied up in this contract. And he made the point, he said that the proponents of tokenizing everything think that's more efficient. Whereas if they had just written a paper contract, and then the guy had found a typo and gone to the court of law and said, hey, there's a typo. I want this money. They would have laughed him out of the room and said, we understand the integrity of the contract, what the intent was. No, you know, no way he would have made off with the funds. And so there's a whole lot besides your point that there's a disconnect between what's happening in the physical world and on a blockchain, which is astute and important. You know, there's also the reality that it just isn't necessarily better for almost anything. I mean, a blockchain technology is good for decentralized money, and that's about it. And we're actually going to hit on that here, I think, in just a minute. But Tony, did you have any comment on Mr. Brian Armstrong?
Not much, man, other than the fact that no one should be taking this guy seriously at all. And the fact that the ETFs are at Coinbase should be like ringing all sorts of alarm bells. Because this guy, all he is for entertainment purposes only, right? Like, I mean, he's running a casino. It's, you know, it's complete garbage. Like, how do you take someone like this seriously with money? And it also adds to the fact that if he's promoting all of this, what does that tell you about the money itself, right? Like, it's blown up all the credibility of the money system, right? Like, you're making money, but what is this money that you're making? What's it worth if you've got all of these games around it? Absolute complete garbage. So I hope he's securing these ETFs for the sake of those, you know, invested behind it. Because when that headline comes that Coinbase was hacked, I can assure you there's going to be a lot of damage done and a lot of people that are seriously pissed.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. Alrighty, speaking of blockchains. Alrighty, we've got just in the ECB looks to create a blockchain-based payment system. I guess I suppose they're unaware that one of these exists. It's been proven over many, many years. A lot of us have been buying it and accumulating it for quite some time. But Tony, I'll pass this one right back to you. What's your take on the ECB?
And some people are just in denial. You know, these people really believe that they're still relevant and that people really care about anything that they say or do anymore. You know, like if it smells like a CBDC and it, you know, it acts like a CBDC, what do you think it is? It's a CBDC. This is just another shitcoin. Belongs in the Coinbase casino. That's where that whatever it is that they're concocting should end up. No one should be taking this seriously. You're right. We have something already 100 times better that cannot be replicated by any of these clowns. And it's called Bitcoin. You can own it yourself. You can hold it yourself. Nobody can take it away from you. Censorship resistant, permissionless, trustless, all the good stuff that you want behind money. So these people are just noise trying to remain relevant in a world where they're no longer relevant. So my prediction that the EU will no longer cease to be a thing in less than 5 years is, you know, grow stronger every time they make a post like this publicly. And that's all I have to say behind this. It's just like, enjoy the circus.
Yeah, I think what people don't understand about the people who are still blockchain, not Bitcoin, I'm sure there are so many blockchain consultants out there who are still trying to make money running projects that go nowhere, is a blockchain is simply an inefficient database. Like it's an alternative form of database, and it really doesn't have a lot of utility. The whole point is decentralization. And so when companies, which are centralized entities by nature, try to use a blockchain to do something versus a SQL database, they're really not accomplishing much except for maybe bringing some inefficiency. But what's the ECB going to do? Run their own 20 nodes? And like, that's what keeps the blockchain up to, like, who cares? Like just run an Amazon web server with a SQL database and you can accomplish the same thing for a fraction of the cost. There's no, input in terms of capital to how do we do this the right way or anything. It's just insane. Either they're crazy or some savvy blockchain consulting firm has just completely duped these guys into thinking that they're doing something innovative or useful. I think you're probably more onto something with CBDC ambitions that they have, though. Rick, what do you think?
Oh man, Europe's absolutely cooked, man. it shouldn't be funny because it's really a bit tragic, right? But for me, this is first of all, right, we talk about innovation. Governments don't innovate, right? Point out any time a government has innovated and created something new or interesting. They don't know how to innovate. That's why they're politicians, right? Absolutely useless people. And then they talk about, Europe is in need of a digital euro. Well, the last time I ever used euros, pretty much all of it happens digitally anyway. So what does that mean, right? Like, it doesn't really mean anything. They want to allow financial institutions to settle transactions in central bank money. But the euro already is central bank money. So again, what does that even mean? My assertion of announcements like this, like when I read it, I just see pure panic. Right. Because imagine you're the European Central Bank, right? You got to be sitting there and you got to be on the one hand, you're looking at Bitcoin, you're thinking, oh, Jesus, okay, we're in trouble here, lads. Right. And then you think, well, but maybe we can launch our own digital currency. But then you see like Tether and USDT and dollar denominated stable coins. And now you're thinking, oh, now I'm really in this shit, right? Because they're either going to use Bitcoin. Or if they are going to use a digital currency that's linked to fiat in some way, why would they use the euro? Why wouldn't they just use USDT or a dollar, a synthetic dollar derivative, right? It holds its value better. It's more widely accepted. It's a more popular currency. So for me, I think the Europeans and the ECB have just found themselves in like this no man's land. Like it's like when I see stuff like this, it's like they know they need to do something, right? But they don't know what it is. And they're just like, just say blockchain. Just say blockchain. It'll be fine, right? Like, we'll do something with a blockchain. You've hit the nail on the head, right? Like, a blockchain's purpose is to help, is really to decentralize things, right? That's what allows that to happen. But actually, they're less efficient than a centralized database. So unless you're going to create like a Bitcoin style euro that everybody can validate and similar to Bitcoin, then like you said, just use MySQL. Like, what are you doing? And I think you're also right that like there'll be blockchain consultants running around. I mean, blockchain consultants are some of the most insufferable people you're ever likely to meet, because either they understand blockchains and that means they're scammers, or they've done a hell of a lot of reading to come to really backward conclusions and don't understand what they're doing. But every single one of them that I've ever met comes with extreme levels of confidence about how they're going to change the world and revolutionize, everything on a blockchain, right? Bad advice, incompetent people, they're in no man's land. I agree with Tony. Like the European Union, I think, is going to break up, right, into loads of different sovereign nations. And the ones maybe like Prague, right, looks promising. They're moving more towards Bitcoin, more open to it. And I think that's what we're going to see. Like, this is going to collapse. And then it's going to be every man for himself. And everyone's going to be drawn towards Bitcoin, whether they like it or not.
Europe will finally heal once these parasites are over and done with. We'll be back to having the Europe that everybody reads about in history books, and not this trash that is polluting it for the last God knows how long.
I sincerely hope so, man. I mean, like, we're like a laughing stock at the moment. And it's a shame because there's people in Europe that are talented, skilled. I think we have a lot to offer. We have amazing culture, food, history. And unfortunately, we are just hamstrung by a load of corrupt lunatics who, you know, believe me, like, I don't know, the Americans looking at Europe thinking, what the hell is going on over there? Well, believe me, all the Europeans are thinking the same thing. There's like a small cabal of complete lunatics. Yeah, man, I'd like get Musk over here. Like we need to do something. But thankfully, Bitcoin's going to format all these idiots for us, right? So I hope Samson Mao's right, because we're all kind of sick of it, right? It can't come quickly enough.
Yeah. My last comment on this is I think look out for double dipping. I bet you Christine Lagarde's nephew is a blockchain consultant or something, and he's going to get a fat contract to, you know, help implement the, you know, like there's going to be something else, because that's the way politics works. All right. Hey, speaking of Doge, Elon Musk. So Musk is mulling sending all Americans $5,000 checks using Doge savings. I think I saw somewhere that this would include children as well. I don't know for sure if that's the case, but I wish I'd had more kids at the time. So we'll see if this actually plays out. But I think our we were sort of bantering about this offline via chat, and I think the first reaction that probably all of us had to some degree is, you know, this is more lunacy. But as an American, part of my view is, you know, I see my tax dollars that are forcibly taken from me going to fund nonsense that I don't care about, I didn't vote for, unelected bureaucrats have determined, you know, that's how we're going to outlay funds. And there's a part of me that's like, yeah, give me my money back. But I also look at our near $37 trillion in national debt, and I wonder, what are the inflation implications of sending $5,000 in cash to every man, woman, and child in the United States, and suddenly they want to go out on a spending spree? What does that do for my steak and eggs? So, Tony, why don't you give your thoughts on this one first?
Yeah, man, like I told you earlier, like, where's the money going to come from? I mean, you're about $37 trillion in debt, you know, like, you know, this is a massive number. Like, how are you going to pay it down? Like, you can't. Yeah. It's like the system is cooked. Like, what are you going to save? You know, as much as you try to save, you're not going to save $37 trillion. Besides, the whole system is designed on debt. You know, like, that's how it functions. Like, if you try to reverse that, it's just not going to work, because the incentives don't align, you know, in that direction. Of course, every individual, every American is going to be happy to receive a $5,000 check. It's like, who wouldn't? You know, it's like it's a nice Christmas present. But, you know, if you zoom out a bit and look at the big picture, what is that doing? It's doing absolutely nothing good. So I don't know, man. There's only one way to fix the system, and that's to replace it completely. This patchwork that's going on, I think it's just a distraction to either delay the inevitable. It's going to fail at some point. Whether it fails slowly or quickly, that's in the hands of these guys. But it's failing. You know, mathematically, that's a guarantee. So focus on Bitcoin, hold it yourself, and watch the show. There's nothing really more that you can control other than what you do with your time and energy.
Yeah. Is my math on this right? I'm seeing $5,000 times about 350 million Americans is $1.75 trillion. I think that would about make sense. And we're running about that deficit. So I guess I don't even know what to do with that. I mean, the question for me is just at this point, if they send me a $5,000 check, am I buying chickens and beehives and some ammunition, or am I just going to smash buy Bitcoin? I think it's a difficult decision. Rick, what do you think?
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. Like, I can see, like, there's one cohort of people that are like, look, we absolutely shouldn't give out $5,000 because we're in this $37 trillion of debt. Like, this isn't responsible. It's going to be inflationary. Why don't we pay down the debt? And I can kind of understand where they're coming there, right? You have a department of government efficiency trying to make the government more efficient. They save a bit of money. That means they can lower the government's debt, which is completely out of control. But instead, they decide, like, no, we're just going to, like, do an airdrop, like some crazy crypto coin. Like, yeah, that's kind of a crazy thing. However, if I was an American, right, I'm thinking just like you are, Michael, I'm thinking, well, you know, you've been like, you know, sending all this money to do gender reassignment surgery on badgers in Timbuktu or something, right? Like, yeah, I wouldn't mind getting some of that money back. And I get that too, because the reality is like $37 trillion is never, ever getting paid off, right? Like I wrote an article, it must have been a couple months ago now, because reading it, I was talking about $35 trillion. So obviously the numbers have got a lot worse. But I wanted to make sense of how much money that was. And the maths that I did in that article showed that if you paid off this debt $1 million every day, so $1 million every day, if Doge and Elon Musk find $1 million of savings every day, it will take them 95,000 years to pay it off, right? Like if you go back in time, that's like woolly mammoth territory. Like the scale of this problem is so ridiculous that it's just like, well, yeah, screw it. Like give it back to the American people. They'll spend it better. Well, some of them will spend it better than the government will. So yeah, look, if I'm an American citizen, I'm like, give me the money back. The Ponzi's over anyway. Like just keep printing it, put it into Bitcoin, guns, ammunition, or just have fun with it. It's going to be better spent. So yeah, it's crazy, isn't it? It's crazy. The one thing I would do is a good reminder, right? Before you lucky people will get your $5,000 checks, right? I want to remind you of one thing. Go and check out a website called bitcoinstimulus.net, which is brilliant because what it did is, do you remember the stimmy checks they gave during COVID, the $1,200 they gave everyone? Well, someone has made a little website that tracks what that $1,200 of stimulus would be worth today if you'd have put it straight into Bitcoin. And that $1,200, had you bought Bitcoin on April 15th, 2020, would be up 1,391% and would now be worth $17,895. Wow. That's wow. Serious, right? So if you get $5,000, look, no financial advice, but you know, that's some pretty good returns, right? So yeah, give me the money, please. Yeah.
There you go. All righty. For everyone listening, thank you for tuning in to Bitcoin Banter. If you are interested in proper 100% self-custody of your Bitcoin, go to thebitcoinway.com/podcasts, schedule a free 30-minute consult with a member of our team. We can help you with online privacy, setting up a privacy phone, and we've got a Plan B residency option as well. Again, that's thebitcoinway.com/podcast. Would love to chat with you. Gentlemen, thank you as always for the time today.
Thank you, Michael.
Thanks, Michael.
Cheers, guys.